You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
So we're talking about holiness. They brought the table. I've got an illustration. I don't know if we're going to get to it or not. I've been chewing on it all week. Couldn't get away from it. And you know how it goes. You go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And so we've been talking about holiness. We started 2 weeks ago. I'm going to do a quick review. Number one, understand that when we say holiness, it's not a bad word. As I was praying about it this week, the Lord ministered it to me this way. Holiness is not a word of condemnation. It's a word of liberation.
Amen.
Amen. And when you live holy, you're stepping out of condemnation and into God's liberty. Into God's freedom. And God wants us to be free. Jesus actually died to set us free. I'm so amazed that Jesus died to set us free, but lots of times, so many of us are willing to run right back into prison. You know, God has set you free through the work of Jesus Christ. Now just be free. Live free. How do we do that? Through a life of holiness, amen? And so we understand that living holy is not necessarily about focusing on sin, but we looked at the definition of the word holiness, and it means total devotion to God. See, so many believers, they get focused on this sin that they're trying to avoid, and whatever you focus on is what you pull towards you. Isn't that right? And so if you're focused on sin, you're pulling that towards you. But if you're focused on your devotion towards God, you'll pull that towards you, and that devotion will allow you to overcome sin. Amen? And so we focus, and it's just about a simple mental shift that allows us to focus on God so he can help us with these things. And then we talked about Jesus and how he's tempted in the garden, and we said this, live for your purpose, not for your moment. So many people start living for the moment. I want to do this in the moment. I want to do that in the moment. And as they live for the moment, they forget about their purpose. Jesus was really good at not living in the moment because there was three different times where the devil tempted him, and in that moment, he could have had things that he came for. But Jesus said, you know what's more powerful than this moment? My purpose. And so Jesus followed his purpose, and guess what? He fulfilled everything he was supposed to fulfill. And so if we'll focus on the purpose, now listen to me, God doesn't just give purpose to fivefold ministry gifts. God gives purpose to all of us. Hallelujah, I'm going to get 100% on that one. God doesn't just give purpose to the ministers. He gives purpose to all of us.
Amen.
Now, I want you to know this. Listen to me. You have a purpose. And when you know you have a purpose, it'll pull you through hard times. When you know you have a purpose, it'll pull you, listen to me, through temptation. It'll pull you through tribulations, trials, and struggles because you know your purpose is greater than that moment. God has great things for you. In order to get to those great things, we've got to live. And then we talked about some different things, about meditating the Word, surrounding ourselves with the right people, and then communicating our weakness to God. Come on, church, if you can't talk to God about your weakness, who can you talk to? And we should boast in our weakness, because as we boast in our weakness, we get to see His strength. And then God will sit all over your weakness, and He'll say, nope, you're strong. And the reason why you're strong is because I'm strong. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden, our weakness becomes a strength, and God carries us right through. Amen. Just like the Bible says in Corinthians, from glory to glory to glory. He wants to take you somewhere. Hallelujah. And the way He takes us somewhere is by us coming to God and saying, listen, I'm really strong. Because everything the devil throws at you is to keep you from going somewhere. See, God wants you to move from glory. I love this about God. He doesn't just bring you to a place of goodness and grace and mercy. And He brings you to that place, and then He takes you further. And then He pours more blessing on you. And then He gives you more grace. Then He gives you more love and kindness. God is so good. Hallelujah. He's in Ephesians 3:20. God, amen. I'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can believe or ask or hope or think. That is God. Hallelujah. And so we got to understand He wants to take us somewhere. Everyone say, He taking me somewhere. Hallelujah. So we've got to be sure that we live in a way that God can take us from place to place. And everything the devil throws at you is to keep you from moving forward in God. And when you start to communicate, God, I'm having a real tough time loving my wife. I know you made her. And I know I said for better or worse, and right now it's worse. I need you to make it better. What are you doing? You're expressing your weakness to God. And as you express your weakness to God, He'll get up all in the middle of that, and He'll fix some things that, listen to me, you cannot fix. Woo! We need Him. Amen. I need Him. If I could have fixed it, I love the way Pastor says, if I could have fixed it, I would have fixed it already. Amen. So hallelujah. So now, this is where we're going to be talking about this week, holiness. We got two things we're going to look at. Number one is how you think of yourself matters. And then number two, we're going to dive into grace. But I want to focus on this. How you think of yourself matters. Proverbs 23:7, you know the scripture says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Listen to me. It's important how we think about ourselves. Over in Romans 8:5-6, it says, those who live according to the flesh. Now, pay attention to how he words this here in Romans. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds. Everyone say, my mind. Have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind is governed by the flesh, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. What you think on is important. I like to say it this way: every action first begins with a thought. And if you want to live holy, you must begin to think holy. This is why the Bible talks about, you know, and Pastor talks about this a lot, but when you got born again, your mind, your spirit man got born again. Yeah. I wish my mind would have got born again. I wish my body would have got born again, but only my spirit man got made new. My mind, and I've shared stories with you guys, hallelujah, and I know this is, don't get the confession police on me. All right, I get it. I'm saying something to drive home a point, but my mind can just get flat squirrely from time to time. Y'all think I'm wrong, but I know your mind does too. You think things you ought not think, hallelujah. And so what do we do when we start thinking things we ought not think? Well, the Bible says to take every thought captive and make it subject to the law of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. So when I start thinking bad thoughts, now listen to me, holiness, when we think about it, we think like this terrible sin. But did you know just mistreating my wife could be sin? Let me rephrase that, not could be, is sin. Mischeating my children is sin. So we need to look at that. It's not, God's not just talking about the big things that we're like, oh snap, they did that. No, God's concerned about the big things and the small things. Because the Bible talks about, you know, man, depending on how you treat your wife, may determine whether or not your prayers get answered. So I want to treat my wife the right way. What is that? That's holiness. That's devotion. It takes devotion to God. All the husbands in the room, so much judgment right now. Hallelujah. Loosen up. It's okay. Hallelujah. But I want God, hallelujah, to help me love my wife the way Christ loved the church, to where he gave himself for her. Now, it's easier said than done, and all the men should say amen. Amen. Now, ladies being judgmental, I feel you. I see those daggers. Praise God. So we'll just keep going. Amen. And so he said this. So we have to be sure that what we think on is right. And how we think about ourselves is right. Why do we let the world determine what we think about self? We should let God determine what we think about ourselves. We should let God's word. Why do we let a report from the doctor determine what we think about ourselves? Well, the doctor says your child has ADHD, Z, Y, B, and C. And then all of a sudden, we just buy into that. Well, the doctor said it. It must be true. This is what I think about my child because the doctor said it. No, I got to control what I think about my children and about myself, because if I don't control what I think, I'm not going to get the promise. Y'all don't believe me? Let's prove it from the word. Numbers 13:33. Y'all know this, right? God promised them the promised land. And then they sent out the spies and they came back and they gave a bad report. What'd they say? And he says, and then we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which are some which come of giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So they begin to look at themselves in the wrong light. They begin to think, you know what? We're just grasshoppers and they're giants. It's amazing when you start thinking about yourself in the wrong light, how that can remove God from your equation. Because no longer were they considering God. They became narcissistic in this moment, and they only began to consider self. And when they started thinking about self, and when they started looking at themselves as mere grasshoppers, they removed God from their equation. And when it's amazing how this works. When you remove God from your equation, what else do you remove? All of his promises. And so they started looking at themselves in the wrong light. And as they looked at themselves in the wrong light, what do we know? They did not inherit the land that God had promised to them. Listen, we know all the promises are yes and amen. right? The only reason we don't step into those promises, well, there's a lot of reasons, but one reason is because maybe we're looking at ourselves in the wrong light. So you got to see yourselves a certain way. Redeemed children of the Most High God. And when you think about yourself, you should see the blood of Jesus. You should see the grace of the Most High God. And you should identify with that, who you are now, instead of who you used to be. Listen, when I first started, Brian, if you'd come up here real quick, there's three jars over there. If you'd bring all three, I wasn't sure if we're going to do it, but I feel like we need to help some. They're right around that step. You can just bring two at a time while I talk. When I first started in ministry, now listen, everyone in the room, we've got some things that we didn't do or that we did that we're not proud of. Thank you for your support. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? Go ahead and grab the other one. Thank you. Now this, you may have seen this on YouTube. I saw this a long time ago, and it just so blessed me, and so we're going to do it today. But when I first started in ministry all those years ago, 16 years ago, I started when I was 5, hallelujah. And you know, yeah, some of y'all catch that later, praise God. And so, but when I started in youth ministry, I remember going to service on a Wednesday, thanks Brian, going to service on a Wednesday night. And the Lord would be ministering to me. He'd be telling me, listen, I want you to call a prayer line. Some students in the room, they need the anointing. They need to be ministered to. I need to reach them. And I remember when God was ministering that to me, I would begin to think about my past. And I'd begin to discuss with God, you can't use me that way. Don't you know I'm not worthy? Don't you know I've made mistakes? And then all of a sudden, I begin to identify with who I used to be. I began to look at myself in the wrong light, and as I looked at myself in the wrong light, I began to push down what God was telling me to do. We have to be careful how we look at ourselves. And so we know that God created us in the very beginning. He created us perfect, right? And then all of a sudden, sin came because Adam and Eve made a bad decision, and that sin entered in. And when sin entered in, it corrupted our hearts. And it took us from this place of looking like God, and now we begin to look like this. Dirty with lots of issues and mistakes. Every single person in here has made a mistake. That's why we need Jesus. Amen. And then God says, I've got a plan of redemption. I'm so grateful for that plan. And then Jesus came and he went to that cross. Amen. And they crucified him and he went to hell for 3 days. The Bible says he spent 3 days in the deep. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, on that third day, he was raised up to life. And I love this part about it. It says when he was raised to life, we were raised with him. So what does that mean? When we were raised Jesus, he entered into us, and then he takes that sin. Now, this is important. What are we trying to get to? People still see themselves this way, when you should see yourself this way. And when you see yourself this way, you have no problem receiving the promises. But when you see yourself this way, you're saying, you know what? I don't deserve that. And you're right, but Jesus gave it anyways. And so what should we do? We should see ourselves this way. What does it say over in 2 Corinthians 5:17? It says, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. All the old things are passed away. Behold, everything has been made new. And when I shifted my thinking and I stopped looking at myself and I started looking at Jesus, then it produced a confidence on the inside of me. Now you want me to call a prayer line? Let's get it. See, because you got stuff to do in this world. And when God speaks to you, you need confidence. Hallelujah. Maybe God needs you to, whatever it may be, you need to know you've heard from God. Amen. And if you're still looking at yourself this way, you're not going to follow him. Everyone say, I'm new. And so we have to see ourselves in that way. Romans 8, 15 and 16 says this. So you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his spirit joins our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. See, when you look at yourself, you ought to see a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And if you can see a son or a daughter of the Most High God, then it doesn't matter what you're going through, you'll be able to overcome it. See, because lots of times people, you know, healing, let's just use it. It's an easy one. When someone's sick, I don't know why we go like this route, but we do in our minds. We just think, well, we deserve this. Jim said it during the tithes and offering. That's why this is the good news, because we don't get what we deserve. We get what he gave. Amen. And so I see myself this way. I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I am washed by the blood. You said I'm the healed of the Lord. Then guess what I am? I'm the healed of the Lord because look at me now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And then all of a sudden we're empowered and we're confident, and confidence has a lot to do with whether or not your faith works. Amen. So let's keep Chris. Someone say it's good. Yeah. Hallelujah. So the way we look at ourselves is very important. Let's look at the prodigal son real quick, and we're going to blow through this. Luke 15, 11 through 20. It says, this is Jesus, and he's given this parable. He says, to illustrate this point further, Jesus told them a story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want to share your estate now before you die. So his father agreed and divided his wealth between his sons. A few days later, his younger son packed all of his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all of his money on wild living. About the time the money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him. And the man sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding to the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, everyone saying came to his senses. He said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And I am here dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against you, both heaven and you. And I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home and his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming and filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him and kissed him. Now, we all know this story. And I was reading this several weeks back and God really began to minister something to me. Now, listen to this. What did he say? He said, I am no longer worthy to be called your son, but a hired servant. This is where holiness gets really important. The way you live will alter how you see yourself. He never stopped being a son. You never stop being a son or a daughter of God. But like this guy, so many believers are living in such a way that has distorted the way that they see themselves. And instead of coming boldly before God's throne room of grace to obtain mercy, they come crawling in like a slave or a servant. Do not let the way you live alter the way you see yourself. I knew we were going to get deep this morning. The way, everyone say, the way I live is important. He no longer saw himself as a son, but instead a hired servant. You're a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Amen. Don't let your lifestyle tell you otherwise. Live a life that's worthy of God. Hebrews 4:16 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Listen to this. When we don't live holy, it ends up stealing away from our relationship with God, and it starts building layers between us and Him. And every layer that is built between us and God is an attack on our confidence and a step away from His promises. So many Christians have all these layers between them and God. God is still very accessible to them, but they don't feel like it and they don't think He is. Because they've put these walls and these petitions, the way they've been living has separated them and taken them away to where now they can't come before. Listen to me, when I've got something going on in my life, I need to be able to boldly come to God. And I need to be able to say, God, I need you in the middle of this. Your lifestyle matters. A lifestyle of holiness and total devotion to God will produce confidence in you to where you can go before God in our time of need and say, you promised me. See, we should be able to go to God with that confidence. When I get a bill in the mail, I should be able to go to God and say, God, you promised me. When my children are acting up, hallelujah, I should be able to go to God and say, you promised me. When my boss is talking about layoffs and people are going to be getting fired, I should be able to go to God and say, God, you promised me. But that confidence must first be reinforced with my lifestyle. See, I've come up against a lot of Christians that say it doesn't matter. It does matter. Because you can't get rid of your human side. Can't get rid of your human side. You're a human being. And our human side likes to feel like we've earned some things. And when we're not living in such a way that produces confidence, we're not going to go to God. So many Christians don't go to God not because he's not loving, not because he doesn't care, but simply because they don't feel worthy and they don't feel like they can. Everyone say, holiness matters. It's important the way that we live. 1 Timothy says this, keeping your faith, leaning completely on God with absolute trust and confidence in his guidance and having a good conscience. Everyone say good conscience. Good conscience. For some people have rejected their moral compass and have made a shipwreck of their faith. When we don't live holy, it shipwrecks our faith. Now, Cornerstone, y'all stay with me. There's not a lot of churches that will talk about this. I was on the phone with my dad. He's a pastor up in Colorado, and he's like, you know, we're talking about what's going on. I said, well, Pastor Mark, Pastor Ron, they're going to be out of town, so I'm preaching on Sunday. Oh, yeah, what you preaching? I said, holiness. Just got quiet on the other end of the phone. And then after I said it, that, you know, dad was like, well, son, I applaud you for preaching that because there's not a lot of ministers that are willing to go this direction anymore. See, that's what I love about Cornerstone, though. Pastor Mark and Pastor Ron, they'll always give us the truth. Why will they give us the truth? Because they want our lives to get better. Amen. And that's why God gives us the truth. And that's why sometimes we have to look at these things and we have to take inventory. Okay, am I living the way I'm supposed to live? Am I treating my children, my wife, my employer, my neighbor, myself, the way God wants me to treat myself? And we take inventory and we make sure we're living holy lives because God told us to be holy as he is holy. Now remember, it's not a message of condemnation, it's a message of liberation. So if God's ministering to you this morning, just look at what you need to look at and fix it. And as you do, you'll be liberated. Everyone say it matters. Hallelujah. I'm not going to shipwreck my faith because I want to do something fun. I figured if I smiled at the end of that, you'd receive it better. I'm not going to shipwreck my faith because I want to do something fun. Because I want to live in the moment. No, I need my faith. My children need my faith. My wife needs my faith. The society needs your faith. Amen. Don't throw it all to the wayside because, okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so we need to see ourselves in the right light. Forgiven and washed by the blood. Amen. As we see ourselves. Because remember, I hate it. I don't like the way we say that. Maybe we don't. But you're no longer a sinner saved by grace. No, listen to the verbiage. You were a sinner. You have been saved by grace. You know that song, Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. He doesn't say, oh, I'm still lost. You know, I'm still looking. No, I once was lost. Who saved a wretch like me? Listen, he saved me. I once was a wretch and a wreck, but now I'm a son of the Most High God. Amen. And then that takes us right into grace. You know, it's called saving grace. You know, I'm still reading my Bible, hallelujah. And maybe, you know, you can. Well, don't come up here and take the mic. But if you have found sinning grace in the Bible, you tell me about it. I'm still looking for sinning grace in the Bible. Don't get quiet. Because there's a lot of preachers that preach sinning grace. Let me tell you a story, all right? When I was growing up, my dad used to have this saying about me. I love this saying. But he'd say, Robert could fall in a porta potty and come out smelling like chocolate. Hey, Robert could fall in a porta potty and come. I'm like, Dad, thanks, I think, you know? But because Dad always said that about me, it began to distort my view of grace. I could just fall in the porta potty. I can make my mistakes. I can get all up in this mess. And then because of God's grace, he's going to fix it. Right? And then I was thinking that way. And then God ministered to me one day. He said, my grace isn't so you can be cleaned up after you fall in the porta potty. My grace is to keep you from falling in. Now that's saving grace. Save me from the poo pile. Why do I gotta fall in to experience your grace? Why don't I receive your grace right now and then I don't have to fall in? That's God's grace. Amen. We see that grace communicated to the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. Right? What a wonderful example of God's grace. You know, and we don't have time to go read it, but all these accusers, you know, and I listened to Michael Todd on his series on grace, and I love the way he viewed this. He's talking about, well, first of all, how'd they catch her? That's like, hallelujah. And so you remember they brought her to Jesus and they said, Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law says we should stone her. What should we do? And you remember what Jesus did? He ignored them and started drawing in the sand. Listen, you'd be better off just ignoring all you keyboard champions. Listen to me now. You'd be better off avoiding the haters. You know how many people you've brought to your side of the argument on Facebook? Just let it go. Let it go. Extend grace and just be compassionate and just let it go. Hallelujah. Hey, y'all don't like that one. So you'd be better off to be like Jesus and just ignore the haters. I think Taylor Swift said it. Haters gonna hate. Was it Taylor saying, shake it off? I don't know. Hallelujah. They want to throw shade? Let them shade. Hallelujah. I ain't sitting under that tree. I got sunshine. Amen. And so Jesus just ignored them. And he starts drawing in the sand. And then, you know, he looks up and they say it again. And then the second time, Jesus starts drawing in the sand. I love the way Michael Todd says it. He's like, I wonder what Jesus was writing in the sand. Maybe he was writing dates with names. And they're all looking down at the dates. And someone in the crowd that's accusing is like, what happened on that date? I remember that date. Oh. Because you remember Jesus was like, he who's without sin cast the first stone, right? And Michael Todd's preaching this, and I'm like, that's really good, you know? And so Frank over here sees December 12th, you know, whatever it would be, like 20 AC or something like that. And he's like, oh, snap. I was at the movies watching something. I shouldn't. Anyways, hallelujah. But the Bible says that just one by one, the haters disappeared into the crowd. And then Jesus looked up and he said, woman, where have your accusers gone? And she looked around and said, I don't know where they're at. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Now, here's grace. Go and sin no more. So I don't know when people or ministers or somebody started saying grace means you're forgiven. Go and sin. That's not grace. Now, that's part of it. You know, there is forgiveness of our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, confess your sins and he's faithful and just to cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness. But guess what? His grace has saved you from your habitual sin. I'm not talking about maybe, you know, well, hallelujah. And like I said a moment ago, I'm still searching the Bible for sin and grace. I haven't found it yet. See, I think it's a violation of God's grace when we think we can just keep on doing what we've been doing. And if you want further revelation of that, Pastor Mark has written two great books. They're out in the bookstore. You can go grab them and it'll minister to you greatly. But God's grace has saved you from sin. So disrespectful. Now, y'all, hallelujah. We know that ministers, we have to go through stuff before we can minister stuff. Amen. So God's brought me through this. But what so disrespectful to the grace and the power of God when I receive his grace and I don't allow it to change my lifestyle? Repentance means to turn away from, to do a 180. See, because of God's grace, and it says over there in Ephesians 2, by grace through faith I am saved. His grace has turned my life. Someone said, that's good preaching. Amen. And I no longer live the way I used to live. Why? Because I've experienced his grace. And so when I'm tempted, I begin to talk to God about grace. Because in my weakness, his grace is sufficient. He said this over in 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In that moment of weakness, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago, we alluded to it briefly, but in that moment of weakness, I need grace. And I need to access his grace. And when I access his grace, the power of God, it rests on me. And that power keeps me from falling in. Romans 6:14 says, sin is no longer your master. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Sin's no longer my master. Why? Because I live under grace. See, it's not sinning grace, it's saving grace. And God's grace has set me free from the power of sin. Everyone say, glory to God. Grace isn't just there to clean us up when we sin. It is the power. It is there to empower us so we don't have to sin. I should have got at least one amen on that, because that's real good. Grace isn't there just to clean us up when we sin. Grace is there to empower us so we don't have to sin. Now, why doesn't God? Listen, God is protecting us and keeping us. The reason why he doesn't want us to sin is because he wants us to be able to come before him boldly and receive the promises that are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. I love this, and I said it 2 weeks ago, and it's so true. Grace isn't so we can live in the fullness of the world with God's permission. Grace is so we can live in the fullness of God without the world's permission. Now, this is an interesting scripture that really brings all this together. Titus 2:11 through 14, it says, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God." You remember what holiness is? Total devotion to God. "We should live with righteousness and devotion to God while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to God and doing good deeds." My friends, this is grace. Grace has set us free so we can live righteous lives, totally devoted to God. Now, righteousness and holiness, they're two different things, but they work hand in hand. Your righteousness is the position that Jesus gave you. You're seated in heavenly places, far above all principalities, power, might, and dominion, every name that is named, not only this earth, but the world that is to come. You have a place that Jesus has given you where you're sitting at the right hand with Jesus Christ in heaven, and it's a place of authority. That is your righteousness. And then you have this holiness. Holiness is not where you are, but what you do. And God is saying to us, "I've given you grace to help you in the things that you do, to keep you perfect, blameless, pure, and holy." Everyone say, "I have grace." A couple things I wrote down last night I was praying about holiness. Number one, holiness isn't about avoiding sin, but it's about living devoted to God. Holiness isn't about avoiding sin, but it's about living devoted to God. Number two, holiness is about being free from the things that hurt us. This is really good. Holiness is about being free from the things that hurt us, steal from us, and distract us from being focused on the things that truly matter. See, there's a lot of stuff out here in this world that doesn't really matter. What holiness does is it focuses you on the things that do matter. I'll say it again. There's a lot of things out here that don't really matter. What holiness does is it focuses us on the things that do matter. And as we focus on the things that do matter, God will take care of the things that don't, because he's concerned about every single detail. Number three, holiness isn't a message of condemnation, but it's a message of liberation. Number four, holiness isn't unachievable because we have grace, and grace allows us to live holy.
We hope you're inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org. Check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know him so you too can make him known.